Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting. Amen. We got one more home group meeting this year. And this is a home group meeting for November. And I'd just like to thank everybody that was lifted Karen and I up in prayer as we traveled to Greece and Romania and Bulgaria, and all of the emails and all that stuff. I just thank everybody for that. And it really means a lot when you're out there and you're doing things for the Lord, and you know you have people that you love and that love you, and keeping you in prayer really goes a long way. Amen. Let's go ahead and get started for what the Lord would have for us tonight. As we do, let's go ahead and look at three things that we looked at last month, and then we'll go ahead and get our heart and our spirit poised so that we can move into the glory cloud. Amen. Well, does that sound good? The glory cloud. Amen. Last month we looked at the cloud. We looked at following the cloud, and we saw that we must follow the cloud. And the cloud, as we know, was something that was over the children of Israel as they walked in the wilderness, and the cloud provided protection for them. And the cloud provided protection from them. In the daytime, from the heat, they actually walked under this cloud, and the cloud shielded them from the heat. And at night, there was a pillar of fire that provided warmth. And so we need to walk under that cloud, and we need to follow the cloud. Wherever that cloud goes, we need to go. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. Wherever that cloud goes, we need to go. Amen? And also last month we saw that the wilderness is God's workshop. And that was the title of last month. And that was, the wilderness is God's workshop. And that He designs it. He designs our life. God designs our life, and He brings us to it so that we can grow and develop in Him. Spiritual growth and development happens in us, not in good times, not in the land that flows with milk and honey and the green pastures and the well-watered lands. No, no. Spiritual growth and development in our life happens in difficult and, difficult times, difficult circumstances, areas that we think nothing can be good here that can grow out of that. But out of that, God brings us through that. And spiritual growth and development happens in us. In God's workshop. And that's the wilderness. Amen? And the third point that we looked at last month is we are brought there to see His glory. We are brought to the wilderness not for God to kill us, not for God to punish us, not for anything except for one reason. God brings us to the wilderness. He brings us into hard times, difficult areas, so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can see His glory. If we do not go through hard times, we will never, ever be able to see God's glory. People say, well, I want to see God as a provider. Well, okay, if you want to see God as a provider, you can lose all your money. Yeah. God will be a provider. Or I want to see God as a healer. Okay, get sick. I mean, you can see God as a healer, But God brings us into the wilderness. He brings us into these tough times, these rough areas in our life, so that He can show us His glory. And so today what I like to do, I like to talk about the glory cloud, the glory cloud. And of course, the text we have here is Luke 21:27. This is Jesus talking, and He said, and then shall they see the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man is an interesting term here, because this is the way that Jesus referred Himself to people. He didn't talk, He didn't call Himself the Son of God and, the Messiah and all that stuff. Jesus usually once or maybe twice Jesus referred to Himself other than the Son of Man. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. The glory cloud with power and great glory. This is God's intention in our life, is for us to see the Son of Man coming in that cloud and great power and great glory. That is what God wants for us, is to be able to show us His power and His glory. But He shows us His power and His glory after He takes us through some difficult times. Amen? the glory cloud. People frequently ask me, how did I like Germany? I really don't know, because it was beside the point. Or people will say, well, how did you like Greece? And how did you like, you know, Romania and Bulgaria or wherever? Well, you know, that's okay, but that's really kind of beside the point. It is not about the town nor the house in which we live or the country or that. The focus point is the cloud. The focus point was the reason why God told us to go. I just followed the cloud when I went to Germany. I just did what God wanted me to do. I got up under God, under His provision, and I just followed that. Amen? I remember there was a young pastor who was talking to my Bible teacher named Charles Hahn, and he said, I'm going to speak to all these pastors. And all these pastors, and, you know, he said, I need something deep, Reverend Hahn. I need something deep. You know, please give me something deep that I can share with them. And Charles thought for a second, and he said, just follow the cloud. Just follow the cloud. And if you really think about that, then that's a deep statement. Just go along for the ride. Just follow the cloud. Just do what God wants you to do. Just get up under that glory cloud. You will see the Son of Man coming in that cloud with power and with great glory. Just get up under what God wants you to do and just follow that cloud. I just followed the cloud to Germany in obedience, and God did the rest. If we can just, in obedience, do what God wants us to do, He will do the rest. It's God's job to do the rest. Our job is just be obedient to God, do what He wants us to do, and He will do the rest. You know, I would rather live under the Shekinah glory of God in a small, humble dwelling than to live in a luxurious mansion without His glory. If we live under the abiding Shekinah cloud of God, it will make little difference whether we are in the wilderness or in heaven. It is the glory of God which is to make and impart upon us and overshadow our life. Let me read that again. It is the glory of God which is to make an impact upon us and overshadow our life. Whew. Boy, that's a powerful statement. It does not matter where we live or what we have, and it really doesn't matter what we go through. What matters are we under the cloud. It really doesn't matter who has a nice house or a nice car or this situation or this sickness or this or that. All of that doesn't matter. What matters is, are we following the cloud? Have we got up under what God wants us to do? And He will take care of the rest. The Shekinah is a Hebrew word used in the Jewish theology to refer to a visible manifestation of the presence of God. That's what the word Shekinah means. It's a visible manifestation of God. This particular form of the word is not found in the Bible, but its form comes close to it. The word means to dwell, to abide, to remain. The term Shekinah is used to describe that which abides, whether or not it is visible. So Shekinah means that it is something, that glory that abides, whether it's visible or not. I have a good friend of mine. His name was Tony Ross. A really great guy, pastor, and, you know, world traveler also. When he was in Bible school, Ray, they were praying, they were fasting, and they were all praying and fasting, and they wanted to see the manifest presence of God. That's what they were praying and fasting for. For days and for weeks, they were praying and fasting to see the manifest presence of God. So they were in chapel one morning, and they all were quiet before the Lord, and all of a sudden, this door opened up. And they looked, and they heard footsteps, but they couldn't see anything. They actually heard footsteps coming closer and closer. And he said most of them got up and ran out of there. God answered their prayer. The Shekinah glory, visible or not seen, God's manifest presence was coming and they got up and they ran out of there. Wow. The term Shekinah is used to describe that which abides. That which abides in us, that which dwells in us, whether it's seen or it's not seen. Amen? I like what Walter Buehler said. He said, if you build God a temple, He will dwell in it. So that's worth writing down right there. If you build God a temple, and that's not a temple made with hands or stones, this temple right here, if we build God a temple, He will dwell in it. Wow. He will dwell in there. He will abide. He will remain, and He will be our all in all. It does not matter where we may be or under that circumstances, no matter where we are living, just as long as the Shekinah glory of God abides upon us. The condition of the wilderness does not matter as we live under the cloud of the Almighty. We like the 91st Psalm. And in the 91st Psalm talks about He that dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty and so forth and so on. But did you know the 91st Psalm is not written to Christians? It's not. Because Christians weren't around then. It was in Antioch. They were first called Christians. But the 91st Psalm was written to the one that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. So that person that is under the cloud, the 91st Psalm and all of those things in the 91st Psalm is written to that one that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. The one that is under the cloud and the one that is following the cloud. Circumstances in our lives, it really doesn't matter. What matters is, are we walking with the Lord? Are we in obedience with the Lord? And are we doing the things that we need to do? What matters is, are we following the cloud and experiencing God's glory? See, it's just not following the cloud, but are we experiencing God's glory? Many Christians are doing what God wants, but they are not experiencing God's glory. God's intention is to show us His power and His glory. Amen? And a lot of that with Christians that do what God wants them to do, but they do it for the wrong reason, the wrong motivation, the wrong heart condition, and they're just doing things in lawlessness, actually. And that's why they do not, experience the glory of God. God's intent for us is to do what He wants us to do, and then out of that receive His power and receive the glory that God has for us. Amen? Life under the impact of God, live under the impact of God, not under the impact of some problem or some sorrow or some catastrophe. Live under the influence of faith, not wonderful feelings or the lack of them. Live under the influence of faith, not wonderful feelings or lack of them. Most Christians' experience of God is goosebumps. Or when the piano hits that key. Or when everybody is in church and everything and everyone is singing and we got the music and the trumpets and the band and everybody. And that's the experience that most Christians have of God. But I would say that is nothing of God. That is more of an emotional ascent to God. And we should not live under that influence. Our influence should be for by faith.
Yeah.
It's by faith.
That's right.
Not feelings. Amen? Our life will be fulfilling and satisfying under the abiding presence of God. God desires for us to be obedient to Him and then for us to go through situations. And as He pulls us through those situations, we'll receive the glory of God. And I will tell you, some situations in our life will not make us happy. But at the end, and in the end, we will stand there and say, this is the doings of the Lord. And it's marvelous in my sight. The impact we live under depends not on God, but it depends on us. Say that again. the impact that we live under depends not on God, because it's God's intention for us to live under the impact of the cloud, to live under Him. But will we do that depends upon us. Are we depending? Are we living by our feelings? It's more of a spiritual roller coaster. You know, you have Christians that are up one day and down the next. Up one day and down the next. And that's because their foundational understanding of their relationship with God is emotional. It's built on emotion. If I feel like I'm walking with the Lord, that's good. I remember my brother when he first came to the Lord, and I've mentioned Jake Luffy before, and he was kind of like the pastor that kind of pastored my brother, and it was kind of strange. And as my brother was good friends with Jake Luffy, his walk with the Lord was there, and it was good, you know, as long as he was with the pastor and you know they were friends and they were talking and stuff like that, then he felt they had this relationship with the Lord. But if that relationship was severed at all, then my brother said he couldn't get to the Lord. Mm. Seemed like he couldn't get to the Lord because it was through that relationship. He wasn't living under the cloud. Then my brother said there came a time in his life when he realized that he did not need Jake to get to God. Mm. And this has to be in our life also. There has to come a time in our life when we don't need music. Now, don't get me wrong, I like music, but that shouldn't be the thing that catapults us into the spiritual realm. That shouldn't be it.
That's right.
What catapults us into the spiritual realm is our faith and believing and doing those things. Amen? Mm-hmm. Are we dependent or living by feelings on this spiritual roller coaster, or by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Wow. So this is kind of deep tonight, but I'm telling you, it's what a lot of people need, because I've seen this in three countries on this trip. There seemed to be this big push into entertainment and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, music and all this stuff is important. But, you know, that's not what gets us to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We are by nature creatures of our senses. We are creatures of our senses. One of the slides you will see in the presentation later the slide says, you know, experience all of your senses right here, right now. And we are creatures of our senses. We like to feel, we like to taste, we like to touch, we like to hear. And if we can't do that, then the things do not exist. The natural man thus limits this his findings of truth to such matters as can be appropriated only through sense perception. So if we are naturally sense oriented, and so if we can't taste, touch, feel, whatever, then we have limited our ability in the spiritual realm. Right? Amen? He must see and feel before he will believe, thus closing the door to the realm of the Spirit where faith moves, discovering truths of higher spiritual values. One of the greatest reasons why Christians do not move from the natural realm into the spiritual realm is because they cannot see it. They cannot perceive it because their senses do not allow them to do that. They have not moved into faith, and they got to move out of their senses and move into the spiritual realm where faith operates. And that's just the bottom line. Spiritual truths are found in the lack of our natural senses.
That's right.
Ooh. Spiritual truths are found in the lack of our natural senses, and they are found in the darkness of God. In the areas, because you can't see in darkness, you know? You can't see even what you're going. But those spiritual truths are found in the darkness of God, where our senses close down. is when our faith then can increase and pick up. Amen? The true, and anytime you see the word true in the Bible, the word true always takes something out of the natural and projects it into the spiritual. In John 15, when Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. That word true there is taking something from the natural and placing it into the spiritual. So the true riches of God, taken from the natural and projected into the spiritual, are found in the unknown. They are found in the unknown. The things not knowing where you're going. That's what happened to Abram. He went to a land that he did not know. The true riches of God are always found in the unknown, to where you can't use your senses. Christians are all sense-oriented. I got to feel it, I got to taste it, I got to hear it. But the true riches of God are in the unknown, where you can't touch and you can't taste. And, you have to use your faith to project into that. Amen? The facilities which operate in the realm of the natural are God-given. The faculties which operate in the realm of the natural are God-given. They are intended to function for the comfort of man in the natural realm in the physical world. But these absolutely fail when we try to upset to discern God in the spiritual relationships and manifestation. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. God has provided faith for this purpose. Amen? Through faith we may enter into the new realm where there are spiritual diversities, and diversities here are things that are thought to be true. Okay? Things that are thought to be true because of faith. We don't know about heaven. I've never been to heaven, and no one here has been in heaven, but we believe it in the Bible, and by faith we believe it's there. And so, in faith, then we can enter in to that thinking and that understanding about heaven. By faith, we can enter into some other spiritual things that are operating in our life. We cannot operate and enter into things of the spiritual world by our natural senses. We must operate in the spiritual realm by faith and by the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen? Very, very important point. Very, very important point. We cannot get to God through the natural realm. Let me say that again. We cannot get to God through the natural realm. There is no way we can get to God through the natural realm. We can only get to God through the spiritual realm, because the Bible tells us those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. And so there's no natural way to get to God. Religions try it always. We were talking about Catholicism, and they have all this idol worship and all of this stuff, and it's all a natural realm ascent, trying to get to God, but it doesn't work that way. The only way we can get to God is by faith in spirit. Amen? What a wonderful way God has set that up. The life of the Christian is supernatural. How about that? I was in Bulgaria, and I told this one church, the spirit was really moving. It was powerful. And I told this one church that I'm not a human being. And I'm not a human being, Linda. I'm a spiritual being mastering this human existence. Because the things of God operate in the supernatural.
Yes.
So if I want to operate in the things of God, that I cannot operate in the natural.
That's right.
I have to operate in the supernatural. So I'm not a human being. I'm a spiritual being mastering this human existence. Is that not what Jesus did? He was a spiritual being, and he mastered, I'm trying to master, but Jesus mastered this human existence. Because we are all live forever. We will operate in the supernatural, either in heaven or hell someday. And so we need to learn now how to get out of this physical realm and get into the spiritual realm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is, the life of the Christian is supernatural. That it is above the natural. It is either entered into a level by natural means. The process of weaning man from the limitations of the human and introducing him to the life of the Spirit and faith is extremely trying to our flesh. This process of getting out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm will kill you. But that's God's idea, because he wants that. The more we can die to our flesh, the more we can put our flesh down, the more we'll be able to enter into the spiritual realm. And if you had a gauge right here, and so here we are, if we operate in the flesh, right, more than our spirit man seems to go down, but if we can reverse that process, and if we can operate more in the spiritual realm, then our natural goes down. And so the more we can die to flesh, the more we can, you know, we can die to those earthly desires and all of those things like that, the more we'll be able to function in the spiritual realm. And that is God's intention. And we must allow God to work this process in us, or we will never be able to see God. So if we do not allow God to work this process in us, then we'll never ever see God. There must be this necessity process of adjustment if we are going to truly live the spiritual life and fully enter into the possibilities of development that God has provided for us. Wow, you need to really, that's a tremendous statement right there, but that's true. Let us welcome each stroke. Let us welcome each stroke which sets us free. Every time God does something in us, and every time God does something to kill our flesh, and every time God takes us into the schoolhouse and teaches this lesson and teaches that lesson to us and helps us grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time we go through something difficult, we are being freed from the natural realm, and so that we can be projected into the spiritual realm. That's how that happens. Because we just can't say, okay, I'm going to go to the natural realm, and now I'm going to go to the spiritual realm. It doesn't work that way. Because our flesh is here, and, you know, so our flesh has to die.
Yeah.
Our flesh has to die, and as our flesh dies, then we'll be able to function in the spiritual realm. Wow. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing God? Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for when you die, you shall see God." Jesus was talking about now on earth.
That's right.
Jesus was talking about now on earth. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." They shall see God now.
That's right.
And that's God's intention for us. God's intention for us is to see God now on earth. You know, everyone is waiting for, you know, to die before we go see God. Well, that's not God's intention. God's intention for us is for us to die in ourselves, for our flesh to be put to death, you know. Our flesh to receive a waylay blow that will kill it so that we can operate in the spiritual realm. Because we'll never ever be able to operate in the spiritual realm if our flesh is alive and well. Our flesh says, "I want to live. And God says, "I want it to die. And the more our flesh can die, the more we'll be able to function and flow and operate in the spiritual realm. God brings us into the wilderness to meet with Him. He desires to share His glory. Like I said, the Son of Man, you shall see in power and great glory. That's God's intention, is for Him to be able to show us His glory. That's up to us. Will we allow God to work in our lives so that He'll be able to show us His glory? Because He won't. God will not show you His glory. It will be like those Bible school students that heard these footsteps, and they looked and didn't see anything, and they got up and they ran out. Wow. I don't know what I would have done. I might have been ahead of them, or I don't know, but, you know. Wow. There is nothing more meaningful upon this earth than God's approach to us and taking up His residence in us.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. Wow. When I wrote that, I said, woo, boy. Wow. There's nothing more meaningful. There's nothing more meaningful. As much as I love caring, as much as I like ministering and teaching and doing all that stuff, but there is nothing more meaningful on this earth than God's approach to us and taking up His residency in us. He desires to manifest Himself to us and to live with us and walk in us. That's what God desires to do. He desires to manifest His Shekinah glory and abide in us. That's what God wants to do. There are times when wonderful feelings and goosebumps will accompany such manifestations of God. But most times there will be no wonderful feelings. Most of the time God will meet with us in the wilderness where the wonderful feelings are absent and there's no water. Wow. We must not live on goosebumps. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. You know, we must not live that way. Amen?
Amen.
We must live on faith, believing we have, believing we move and have our being for every word that comes out of God's mouth. We were at the ancient city of Corinth. We were at the ancient city of Corinth, and it's kind of it's a wonderful story. And our driver, when we checked into this one hotel, it's called Anthem in Greece, has a nice Greek name. And we were given a cell phone, and we were given a driver. And our driver's name was Christos. You see a picture of him. And so I talked to Christos, and I arranged for some money to take us to the ancient city of Corinth. Well, the day came, and he was supposed to take us. And so we were waiting, and all of a sudden we got a phone call, and he couldn't make it. And so he said, "Don't worry, I sent my nephew." And I said, "I don't know. You know, your nephew, I don't know your nephew, I know you, you know, I'm not sure if I want to, you know." He said, trust me, you know, and that's what the Lord said, and it's okay. So I said, okay. He said, "You'll be here in about 5 minutes." And I said, "Okay." Well, he pulls up in this cab, and I'm thinking, a cab, you know. So I said, okay. So we went along for a ride. We got under the cloud. Amen? Got under the cloud, God's provision. And we went. And on the way out there, I was just kind of sharing a little bit about our life and what we do and stuff like that. And he said, "I perceive you're a prophet." And I said, "No, I'm not a prophet." And he said, "I think you're a prophet." And I said, "Well, no, I'm just a man. I'm not a prophet." He said, "Okay." So we started talking. Then he started telling me about his Greek religion, his Orthodox, and so forth and so on. And so we got to the ancient city of Corinth, and about an hour and a half, 2 hour walk through the city, and we got pictures and all that good stuff. And he was waiting for us at the end. And so we started talking, and I started sharing with him about Paul at Corinth when he was before, you know, Gallio in the book of Acts and everything. And all of a sudden he stopped me, and he went, oh, my arms. Oh, my arms. My arms are on fire." And I said, "What?" He said, "My arms are on fire." they're burning. And I said, no. I said, that's the presence of the Lord. I said, can you feel the presence of the Lord? He said, oh my gosh, my arms are burning, you know. I said, don't worry, it's okay. It's just the presence of the Lord. And so, you know, wow, okay. And so, you know, that kind of calmed down. Goosebumps. And so anyways, we went souvenir shopping, and then we got back in the cab, and we drove about an hour back to Athens. And going back to Athens, I asked him, did you like that feeling? He said, yeah, it was strange. It was just strange. And I said, well, and I just took him deeper and deeper and deeper, and I explained the plan of salvation to him. I explained confession and repentance. Then I asked him, I said, Stamos, his name is Stamos. I said, Stamos, would you like to become a Christian? And he said, yes. I would like to become a Christian. And right there in that cab, I led Stamos, the nephew of Christos, who wasn't supposed to be there, who wasn't supposed to be driving, supposed to be Christos, but, you know, God had a plan for Stamos that day. And, you know, so it was just a wonderful, you know, wonderful experience. So I wrote that down. I wanted to share that story with Stamos, and then I told him, you know, I need to find a good church, and I gave him some other instructions. But, we'll see a little picture of him later, amen. Goosebumps were good. They kind of helped Stamos down the road to salvation. But as Christians, we're not supposed to live on goosebumps and feelings and all that stuff. Amen. We're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Some parting thoughts. The secret of our success is in the life of God. The secret of our success is in the life of God. If our focus, if our focal point is heaven as a place after our physical death, then, you know, we will probably, yeah, then we will miss the best things in life. Amen? So if our focus in life is to go to heaven, we will miss some of the best things that God has for us in our life. Here in this life, God wishes to be with us. He wants us to see His glory. He wants us to live up under Him. And that is better than our heaven after death, which is beyond our present location. God is better than a believer's future heaven any day of the week, any present time, any present place. God will be better than heaven even after we get there. God will be better than heaven even after we get there. Now, I'll be honest, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I'm not into heaven. I'm going to go, and I hope I see you there, but I'm not into heaven. I'm into Him. I've always been into Him. It's Him who I've always been into. And if we are into Him, then we will go to heaven. But if we are into heaven, we may not be into Him, because we got to go to heaven. Heaven's it. You know, we got to go to heaven. We may not make it there. God wants us to have heaven on earth, the here and the now. Wow. Some believers live and talk as if their future heaven is better than God. I've never been to heaven because I live down here on earth. That is where I will focus my living. Instead of attempting to live in the future, I will focus upon the secret of success in the now life and now God. Amen? Amen. Amen. To do this, we must follow the cloud to the wilderness, where God can wean us off of our physical senses and get us over into the spiritual realm, where we will be able to see God. God wants us to see Him now. The pure in heart get to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. And that pure in heart happens when God is able to work in our life. When God is able to remove things out of our life and cleanse us and purify us and work in our life. Then and only then will we be able to see God. Our Heavenly Father, as we come, we thank you, Father, Lord God, for your mercies and your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord God, we thank you for your word tonight, Father, Lord God. Lord, I shared it the way you gave it to me, Father, Lord God, and I just thank you and I praise you that you will take this word, Father, Lord God, and all the people around the world that will be listening to this, Father, Lord God, that, Lord, that Lord, they will just lay this word at their heart, Father, Lord God, and meditate on it, Father, Lord God, and so there will be some depth in them, Father, Lord God, so that they'll be able to see God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God, for the opportunity. And we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.